Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janava Lava Kiribaradhari Gopi Janava Lava Kiribaradhari Yashodanandana bhaja janaranjana Yashodanandana bhaja janaranjana Yamunatiravana chari Yamunatiravana chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janava Lava Kiribaradhari Gopi Janava Lava Kiribaradhari Yashodanandana braja janaranjana Yashodanandana braja janaranjana Yashodanandana braja janaranjana Nandanachari.
Yeah.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Guru Deva, Guru Deva, Srila Guru Deva. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramhansa Pariprajakacharya Astotara Satyasri Srimad Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupad Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupad Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramhansa Pariprajakacharya Astotara Satyasri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sekaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadvip Dham Ki Jai. Jamuna Mai Ki Jai. Ganga Mai Ki Jai. Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Samveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We welcome you on the auspicious occasion of Sri Balaram Purnima, the appearance day of Lord Balaram. According to Tattva, or transcendental existence, Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. He's the origin of everything, janmadiyasyataha. And Balaram is his first expansion. So all the other incarnations of Godhead are expanded from Lord Balaram. But in terms of Leela, Lord Balaram appeared first before Krishna, and therefore he is the older brother of Krishna. Whenever I think of him, I think of His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami, who is also like not only my older brother, but he was the older brother of almost everyone in ISKCON. And he was happy to be the older brother. So the main relationship, or rasa, between Krishna and Balaram is fraternal, friendly relationship. But because Balaram is the older brother, there's also an element of a parental relationship. The parent protects the child, the older brother also protects the younger brother. And because everyone in existence is the servant of Krishna, Balaram also has that mood of service. So there's also that element of Dasyaras. Lord Balaram wanted to serve Krishna in every relationship, but there was one that he could not have in the form of Balaram, and that is Madhurya Ras, the conjugal relationship. And to fulfill his desire to serve Krishna in Madhurya Ras, he took the form of Ananga Manjari, who is Srimati Radharani's younger sister, and served Krishna in that way, in the form of Ananga Manjari. So for this morning's discussion, I've chosen a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam that explains how Lord Krishna arranged for Balaram to take birth from the womb of Mother Rohini. Now, to give a little historical background, during this period, the king of the region, he was actually based in Mathura, was Kamsa, who was a very wicked tyrant, very evil tyrant, very egoistic. And on the day of the wedding of his sister, Devaki, he was driving her chariot. No, even demons have affection in a way. So he was driving her chariot, or driving her on his chariot with her newly wed husband, Vasudev. And he heard a voice from the sky saying, you fool, Kamsa, the eighth son of your sister is going to kill you. So from that moment, Kamsa lived in fear of being killed by Devaki's eighth son. But he was such a demon that he was ready to kill Devaki, his own sister, right then and there on the spot. And Vasudev, the husband, intervened and said, he gave it many good arguments to Kamsa, and ultimately he said, you know, you're not in danger from Devaki, only from her children. So I will bring you each of her children as they take birth, and you can kill them. They thought, at least let me save Devaki, my wife. And Vasudev was so dutiful and true to his word, he did it. Every newborn baby he delivered to Kamsa. And Kamsa mercilessly murdered each and every one of them. The first six. So that left two. And so this is where we enter the story, the history. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So this section, I believe text 8 is written on the board, but to give a little background, I'll read text 7. And it's important to note, of course, that although Krishna had not appeared in the world, he still existed as the everlasting Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he was directing the whole, all the arrangements for Lord Balaram to appear. So I'll read text 7. So in this verse, and in this section, actually, Krishna is addressing a personality named Yogamaya. Yogamaya is the spiritual energy of Krishna, who makes arrangements for him. Of course, we know the term Maya, meaning illusion. That's Mahamaya. But Krishna has another energy called Yogamaya, and she makes arrangements for him. And she has many roles in Krishna's pastimes. In her personified form, she is Purnamasi. And she, Mahamaya's function is to make us forget Krishna, to conceal Krishna from the conditioned souls, rebellious souls. And Yogamaya partially reveals and partially conceals. By her influence, the residents of Vrindavan love Krishna, but they are not aware that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She arranges that they just see him as, you know, the most beautiful son of Nanda Maharaj, the supreme lovable object. So in text 7, I'll just read the translation and purport. The Lord ordered Yogamaya, O my potency, who are worshipable for the entire world, and whose nature is to bestow good fortune upon all living entities, go to Vraja, where there live many cowherd men with their wives. In that very beautiful land, where many cows reside. Actually, we have many pictures of Vraja on the walls here. You can see many cows. Beautiful, beautiful place. In that very beautiful land, where many cows reside, Rohini, the wife of Vasudev, is living at the home of Nanda Maharaj. Other wives of Vasudev are also living there incognito, means in disguise, because of fear of Kamsa. Please go there. So it was the tradition that a kshatriya could marry more than one wife. Of course, he had to have the ability to maintain his wives and protect them and satisfy them. So Vasudev, so one wife was Devaki, his first, and another was Rohini. And she was sent to Vraja to take shelter there to avoid the atrocities of Kamsa. So now we come to text 8. Please repeat. Devakya.
Devakya.
Jatare.
Jatare.
Garbam,
Garbam.
Sheshakyam,
Sheshakyam.
Dhamma Mamakam Tat Sanikrishya Rohinya Udare Sanniveshaya. Do we have a book holder? We used to have traditional. Yes, thank you. Devakya jatare garbham.
Devakya jatare garbham.
Sheshakyam dama mamakam.
Sheshakyam dama mamakam.
Tatsani krishya rohinya.
Tatsani krishya rohinya.
Udare sanniveshaya.
Udare sanniveshaya.
Devakya jatare garbham.
Devakya jatare garbham.
Sheshakyam dama mamakam.
Sheshakyam dama mamakam.
Tatsani krishya rohinya.
Tatsani krishya rohinya.
Udare sanniveshaya.
Udare sanniveshaya.
Akya jatare garbhyam Sheshakyam dama mamakam Sani krishya rohinya Udare sanniveshaya Akya jatare garbhyam Sheshakyam dama mamakam Tatsani krishya rohinya Udare sanniveshaya Devakya jatare garbhyam Sheshakyam dama mamakam Tatsani krishna rohinya Udare sanniveshaya Vaishnavis Evakya jatare garbham Eshakyam dama kamakam Tatsani krishna rohinya Udare sanniveshaya Devakya jatare garbham Sheshakyam dama mamakam Tatsani krishya rohinya Udare sanniveshaya Devakya jatare garbham Sheshakyam dama mamakam Tatsani krishna rohinya Udare sanniveshaya Devakya jatare garbham Sheshakyam dama mamakam Tatsani krishna rohinya Udare sanniveshaya Devakya
of Devaki
Jatare within the womb Garbham
the embryo
Shesha Akyam known as Shesha the plenary expansion of Krishna. Dhamma, the plenary expansion. Mamakam, of me. Tat, of him. Sannikrishya, attracting. Rohinya, of Rohini. Udare, within the womb. Sannivesaya, transfer without difficulty. Translation. Within the womb of Devaki is my partial plenary expansion known as Shankarshan or Shesha. Without difficulty, transfer him into the womb of Rohini. Please repeat. Within the womb of Devaki is my partial plenary expansion, known as Shankarshan or Shesha. Without difficulty, transfer him into the womb of Rohini. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The first plenary expansion of Krishna is Baladev, also known as Shesha. The Shesha incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead supports the entire universe, and the eternal mother of this incarnation is Mother Rohini. Quote, because I am going into the womb of Devaki, end quote, the Lord told Yogamaya, quote, the Shesha incarnation has already gone there and made suitable arrangements so that I can live there. Now he should enter the womb of Rohini, his eternal mother. So Shesha, who is Balaram, performs all sorts of services for Krishna, makes all kinds of arrangements, and he expands himself as Krishna's slippers, as Krishna's bed, as Krishna's sacred thread. Those are all expansions of Krishna, of Balaram, excuse me. And so he first entered the womb of Devaki to make all arrangements for Krishna. We often see pictures of Lord Vishnu, and Shesha is his bed, and you see Shesha's hoods over the head of Vishnu. So, but one thing which is very important, which I didn't mention, is that Krishna, or any of the others, was not conceived in the usual way that a husband and wife conceive children, but it's described in the Bhagavatam that Krishna first appeared in the mind of Vasudeva. Now, Krishna will only appear in a place that's completely pure And Vasudeva's mind was completely pure. And Vasudeva transferred Krishna from his mind to the mind of Devaki. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada comments that this is the process of diksha by which Krishna is transferred from the guru to the disciple. So, but it's part of the lila. Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan especially are called nar-lila, human-like pastimes. So to fit within the conception of human-like pastimes, he then entered her womb, and she appeared to be pregnant like any mother, and then he came out. But when he came out of the womb, he manifested his four-armed Vishnu form to convince her, to convince Devaki and Vasudeva that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he converted himself into a baby form. And out of maternal affection, although Vasudeva and Devaki knew that he was Vishnu, the Lord Almighty, but out of parental affection, they were afraid that Kamsa would kill him just as he had killed the first six children. And so they wanted to take him to some safe place. And miraculously, that's another thing I didn't mention, that Kamsa imprisoned Vasudeva and Devaki because he had been told that Vasudeva's eighth son would kill him. So just to keep a watch on them, he put them in prison. So anyway, the prison doors miraculously opened by Krishna's will, and Vasudeva carried Krishna from Kamsa's prison in Mathura to Gokul, Vrindavan. And there, Yashoda had given birth to a baby girl. And Krishna book says that she was so exhausted from her childbirth that she wasn't aware whether it was a boy or a girl. And so Vasudeva exchanged Krishna for the baby girl. But there's also a mystery to that, which we won't discuss now in detail. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is quoted by Srila Prabhupada, has pointed out various verses in Srimad Bhagavatam and even in other scriptures to prove that Yashoda actually had twins, a boy and a girl. So the Krishna that Vasudeva brought from Mathura, it says, merged into the male child of Yashoda, who was Krishna. and so Vasudeva took back the daughter. Okay. So coming back to this purport. So the Lord told Yogamaya, because I'm going into the womb of Devaki, the Shesha incarnation has already gone there and made suitable arrangements so that I may live there. Now he should enter the womb of Rohini, his eternal mother. So up till now, Balaram has been in the womb of Devaki in Mathura. In this connection, one may ask how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always transcendentally situated, could enter the womb of Devaki, which had previously been entered by the six asuras, the Sadgarbhas. Does this mean that the Sadgarbhasuras were equal to the transcendental body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Now, there's a history to these six sons of Devaki who were killed by Kamsa. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada refers to them as asuras. And there's a very interesting and instructive history to them. They had been, and the purport, I'm giving you the purport in the beginning, because this history was related by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which recorded in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, on the topic of Vaishnava aparad, how serious it is an offense to commit Vaishnava aparad, and how severe the reactions can be. So these six were sons of Brahma. And there is a pastime when Lord Brahma became, lusty for his daughter and began to chase her. This is another intricate story. But the point here is that when these six sons of Brahma saw their father chasing after his daughter, they laughed at him. And they mocked him. And as a result of that Vaishnava aparad, they had to take birth as these six asuras in the womb of Devaki and be killed by Kamsa. And the whole conclusion of that, why Lord Chaitanya told that story, was just to warn devotees about the serious effects of Vaishnava aparad. That's the idea there. Now coming back to the prison house of Kamsa. All right, so Srila Prabhupada writes, one may ask how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always situated transcendentally, could enter the womb of Devaki, which had previously been entered by the six asuras, the Sadgarbhas. Does this mean that the Sadgarbhasuras were equal to the transcendental body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The following answer is given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who is one of our great acharyas in the parampara. The entire creation, as well as its individual parts, is an expansion of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Where you're sitting right now, on the floor, or on the benches, is an expansion of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything. Everything we see here. Therefore, even though the Lord enters the material world, he does not do so. This is explained by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita 9, 4, and 5. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyaktamurtina matstani sarvabhutani nachaham tesvavastitaha nachamatstani bhutani pashyame yogam aishwaram bhutabrin nachabhutasto mamata bhutabhavana. Quote, by me, in my unmanifested form, the entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. Yet everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, myself is the very source of creation. So this sounds very mysterious or contradictory, that everything is in Krishna, but at the same time Krishna is aloof from everything. But the explanation is that Krishna, in his personal form as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is in Goloka Vrindavan, but his effulgence, his Brahma Jyoti, pervades everywhere, and everything is in that. And then he also expands himself, of course, as the Paramatma, the Super Soul. So there are many mysteries and apparent contradictions. But here, Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing that Krishna is everywhere. Everything is an expansion of Krishna's energy, and Krishna is everywhere. Sarvam kalovidam brahma. Everything is an expansion of Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet everything is not the Supreme Godhead, and he is not everywhere. Everything rests upon him, and yet does not rest upon him. This can be explained only through the Achintya Veda Veda philosophy. That means inconceivably, simultaneously one and different. There's a common aphorism, aham brahmasmi, I am spirit. And some people take that to mean that I'm God, aham brahmasmi, I am God. And once, at that time, Indira Gandhi was the Prime Minister of India, and Srila Prabhupada gave the example that you may be a citizen of India, and Indira Gandhi is also a citizen of India, but that doesn't make you the Prime Minister. Such truths cannot be understood, however, unless one is a pure devotee. For the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhaktimam abhijanan janati avanyas chasmi tattvataha. One can understand the Supreme Personality as he is only by devotional service. Even though the Lord cannot be understood by ordinary persons, this principle should be understood from the statement of Shastra. That is the fact that Krishna is everywhere, but at the same time he's apart. A pure devotee is always transcendentally situated because of executing 9 processes of bhakti yoga. Shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu, smaranam, padasevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam. Thus situated in devotional service, a devotee, although in the material world, is not in the material world. Yet a devotee always fears, because I am associated with the material world, so many contaminations affect me. Therefore, he is always alert in fear, which gradually diminishes his material association. Once Srila Prabhupada gave a class at Bhaktivedanta Manor, and in the class he said to the devotees, the audience, that the difference between you and me is that you can fall down and I cannot. After the class, Srila Prabhupada came before the deities and was offering prayers. And one disciple asked him what he was praying. And Srila Prabhupada replied, I was praying that I may never fall down. And the disciple said, but you said in the class that you can never fall down. And Srila Prabhupada replied, yes, because I'm always praying that I may never fall down, therefore I can never fall down. So the idea is of fear of Maya. In fact, once Srila Prabhupada said that his only complaint about his disciples was that they were not sufficiently afraid of Maya. So this is, you know, the part of being or becoming a pure devotee, that we are afraid of Maya. We're afraid of material association and contamination. So, just to reiterate, thus situated in devotional service, a devotee, although in the material world, is not in the material world. Yet a devotee always fears, quote, because I am associated with the material world, so many contaminations affect me, end quote. Therefore, he is always alert in fear, which gradually diminishes his material association. Symbolically, Mother Devaki's constant fear of Kamsa was purifying her. A pure devotee should always fear material association. Another thing Srila Prabhupada said that I considered very revealing, he said that whenever he enters a rich man's home, he always prays that he may not be attracted to the person's opulence. It's just another manifestation of that prayerful mood, not to be affected by Maya, which we should all have. A pure devotee should always fear material association, and in this way all the asuras of material association will be killed, as the Sadgarbhasuras were killed by Kamsa. It is said that from the mind, Marichi appears. In other words, Marichi is an incarnation of the mind. Marichi has 6 sons. Listen very carefully. Kama, Krodha, lobha, moha, mada, and matsarya. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. These are products of the mind. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in pure devotional service. This is confirmed in the Vedas. Bhaktir Aivainam Darshayati. Only bhakti can bring one in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, there's a wonderful verse spoken by Lord Krishna. Naham Vaikunthi Tishtami. I am not located in Vaikuntha. Yogi Nam Hridayeshuva. Nor am I located in the hearts of the yogis. But I am there wherever my devotees are chanting my glories. So when we engage in devotional service, chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord, Krishna is present. And when Krishna is present, like Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakar, that Krishna is light, like the sun, Krishna Surya Sama, Krishna is like the sun, Maya Haya Andhakar, and Maya is like darkness. Wherever there is Krishna, there can be no Maya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in pure devotional service. This is confirmed in the Vedas. Bhaktir Evainam Darshayati. Only bhakti can bring one in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared from the womb of Devaki, and therefore Devaki symbolically represents bhakti, and Kamsa symbolically represents material fear. When a pure devotee always fears material association, his real position of bhakti is manifested, and he naturally becomes uninterested in material enjoyment. So, generally, devotees are fearless. Srila Prabhupada's name, Abhay Charan, one who is fearless, having taken shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. But this is a different type of fear. This is like a spiritual fear. It's not bad. It's actually good. It's healthy. And beneficial. When a pure devotee always fears material association, his real position of bhakti is manifested, and he naturally becomes uninterested in material enjoyment. When the six sons of Marichi are killed by such fear, and one is freed from material contamination, within the womb of bhakti, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears. Thus, the seventh pregnancy of Devaki signifies the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That was Balaram, Shankarshan. After the six sons, Kama. So what's the translation of Kama? Krodha, Lobha, moha, mada, matsarya are killed. After these six sons are killed, the Shesha incarnation creates a suitable situation for the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, when one awakens his natural Krishna consciousness, Lord Krishna appears. This is the explanation given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So the conclusion is that we should always be in touch with Krishna, in the association of Krishna, by engaging in devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, and by associating with Krishna, we will be protected from the influence of Maya. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakar. Wherever there is the sun of Krishna, there cannot be the darkness of Maya. But to stay in that safe position, we have to be afraid of Maya. And that fear will kill all these anarthas, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, and so on. And to execute devotional service, we need the association of devotees. And therefore, a corollary to this instruction is that we should always remain in the association of devotees and engage in devotional activities. Now, it's possible that even devotees can lapse into material thinking or even material activities. So when we're with devotees, we have to be with devotees. If we're not in the association of devotees, we can't engage in the practice of bhakti yoga. But even when we're with them, we have to be careful to keep our engagement and our consciousness spiritual and devotional. Now, sometimes devotees come to us with their problems. And that's not wrong. That's natural, and depending on the situation, you can also try to help them with their problems. But the ultimate solution is Krishna consciousness. Yesterday, I was speaking with a young man named Trevor, who I am glad to see is here this morning. And so Trevor was lamenting the current state of the world. And so I quoted the peace formula, that the last verse of chapter 5 of the Bhagavad Gita, 5:29, Bhoktaram Yagya Tapasam. Krishna says, Bhoktaram, I am the enjoyer, Yagya Tapasam, of all sacrifices and austerities. Moktaram Yagitap Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. I am the proprietor of all planetary systems. Suridam Sarva Bhutanam. I am the best friend of all living entities. And Gyatva Mam Shantam Richati. If someone understands this about me, about Krishna, he will achieve peace from the pangs of material existence. So it's easy to see, okay, we're not the enjoyers. And it's also easy to see we're not the proprietors. Krishna is. But what about being the well-wishing friend? Why can't we be the well-wishing friend? Well, if we try to be the best friend independently, that is also imitating Krishna or trying to take Krishna's position. We can be a sincere friend to someone if we direct them to Krishna, that Krishna is your real friend. And that way we can be. But independently, suppose I'm your friend, I'm your savior, I'm your deliverer, that's, you know, imitating Krishna. So, we need the association of devotees, but we should keep our association with devotees as far as possible to the nine processes of devotional service and not lapse into habits that we might have had before we became devotees. And if someone comes to us with a problem, and I'm saying a problem, sometimes people, devotees come to us to complain about other devotees. And that can put us in an awkward situation. And one, I guess you could say, technique, which His Holiness Radhanath Swami taught me, is that when they come to you, you know, with their problems, which often means complaints, you should invite them to chant and hear with you. That way they won't feel that you're rejecting them as persons, but at the same time, and again, it depends on the person and the circumstance, but you won't be, you know, dragged into something that won't really be very beneficial for you or the other person. So, yeah. I mean, I could elaborate, but it's really a fact that if we give a priority to Krishna consciousness, everything else will fall into place. As it is said, that for one who accepts Lord Chaitanya, who always remembers Lord Chaitanya, difficult things become easy. And for people who forget Lord Chaitanya, otherwise easy things can become difficult. So this should always be our goal. And to achieve that goal, we need the association of devotees. But we want to be careful, you know, that association is what it's meant to be. Favorable to Krishna consciousness. And of course, the main process is to always chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Oh, are there any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for a wonderful class. I wanted to ask you, the six sons of Brahma that laughed at him and had to take birth and then be killed by Kamsa, was their innate nature demoniac, so that's why they were laughing and then that was shown, or were they like basically pretty good but they just made a mistake and they were laughing?
Well, personally, I don't want to offend them also, so I will say that they were probably good people, but they just made a mistake.
Because we're warned, you know, not to make offenses, but at the same time, I was wondering if just it was their nature and that's why they laughed, or should we be concerned that we make small mistakes like that? Is that something to think, well, look at the reaction for something that might, if we're trying our best.
Uh-huh. Well, from that point of view, you know, we have to be afraid. In fact, there's a very pertinent verse from Jud Bharat in which he says, and he gives a whole list, you know, I'm not afraid of the trident of Lord Shiva, I'm not, all these different things, I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid. But the one thing I'm afraid of is offending a Brahmin. So that is, you know, we talk about being afraid of material existence, and of all things we should be afraid of offending Vaishnavas or Brahmins. And if we happen to, there, you know, we can approach the person. There are remedies. We can approach the person and beg forgiveness. We should. You know, there may be little offenses we commit just in our daily interactions with devotees. And one disciple said to Srila Prabhupada, you know, if I have to beg forgiveness from every devotee that I offend every time, I'll end up spending my whole day begging forgiveness. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, those sort of minor incidental offenses in the morning when you offer obeisances to the Vaishnavas, it's built into the early part of the morning program, you are actually, you know, begging them to forgive you for any incidental minor offenses. Oh, yeah.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
So, Maharaj, can you explain how just by fearing the material association that the six asuras get killed?
Well, the six asuras, you know, lust, anger, greed, and so on, those are, I mean, lust is the first. And from lust, the others follow. In fact, in Sanskrit, there's a word for anger, which is called kamanuja. Anuja means to follow. Like Ramanuja younger brother of Ram, is Lakshman. And so Kamanuja means that when that anger follows lust. When our lust is frustrated, we become angry. And you know, greed is also similar, but it's although Srila Prabhupada said that in a way greed can be more troublesome than lust and anger, because with lust and anger you can, you know, sort of express it, and at least temporarily they'll go away. But greed, it's always there. You never get relief from it. But being afraid of material association, that means being afraid of Maya, and all of this is Maya. So if you're afraid of Maya, then these things disappear. Or even if some vestige of them remains, they don't, you know, you just tolerate them, you don't act upon them, and eventually they go away. Does that answer your question? Okay. Sundari, did you have a question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for a wonderful lecture. My question is about being afraid of Maya. So if it was told to me by a devotee that if, say, we are contaminated, we come into contact with Tulsi Devi, that doesn't contaminate her. She's still a pure devotee. So in a similar way, moving out of the ashram and kind of being in the world, there's been instances where I kind of see, like, oh, the devastation of Kali. This is, you know, very in my face right now, whatever this situation may be. For example, being in a downtrodden neighborhood and seeing, oh, wow, this is what the reality is in some places of the world. But is that what we should be afraid of, is the exposure? Does it necessarily contaminate us? Or is it more of, you know, can we keep purity in even being exposed to, I don't want to say Maya as much as a kind of contaminated condition?
Well, that's a very good point, because if we're going to help others, we have to go into the, so to speak, material world, and we have to associate with ordinary people. So when we do that, and we're ordered to do that by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, Yare Deke Tarikaha Krishna Pradesh, we're ordered by Krishna. And, yeah, one who preaches this message is the dearmost servant of Krishna. There will never be one more dear. And in the end, devotional service is guaranteed, and he will come back to Krishna. So that's a very important question, that we have to, that in order to do this service, which is the best service, we have to go out, you know, into the material world or deal with materialistic people. And when we're doing that, we pray. It could be both simultaneously, that we pray not to be, you know, affected by their association. And we also pray that our words may be suitable for their understanding, and we pray that, you know, Krishna in the heart will inspire them to accept his message. But we need strong friendships. Friendly relationships with devotees to come back to. Because it will, to some extent, weaken us. You know, that association, that exposure. And so we need, you know, in a loving relationships with devotees that we can come back to, and that will nourish us. Because if we don't have those, sometimes we might find someone out there, you know, oh, maybe this person could be my friend. You know, you might think we can get something from someone who's not a devotee that we're not getting from the devotees. So as devotees, we should try to satisfy the devotees so much that they don't feel they have to look outside the association of devotees for society, friendship, and love. So does that address your question?
Yes, thank you. Hare Krishna.
Okay, Hare Krishna. All right, so what's next? Does anyone know what's next on this? I know there's time. Oh.
Small class on Lord Balaram again about the pastimes of Lord Balaram, and then at 12 o'clock the Artik, and then at 12:30 or 12:45 we'll have the feast in the next building across the way.
Oh, okay. So there'll be kirtan in the temple now.
Yes.
Okay, and then did you say 10:30 is the Abhishek?
Around
10:30. Yeah, that's safer. Yeah. Okay, that's good. That's very good. All right, thank you very much. I hope you have a wonderful Balaram Purnima. Srila Prabhupada said if you have any problems, just place them at the feet of Lord Balaram and he will take care of them. Hare Krishna. Shri Balaram Purnima Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.
His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai.